Good morning. We have embarked on this journey studying the consciousness out of which the art of spiritual healing by Joel Goldsmith has come. And we're starting on chapter one. What is spiritual healing? And this is sort of an introduction to spiritual healing. Later he'll get into the specific principles. But for now, we will get into, we'll have a few clues as to which direction we're heading. And he begins with this. The world is not in need of a new religion, nor is the world in need of a new philosophy. What the world needs is healing and regeneration. The world needs people who, through devotion to God, are so filled with the Spirit that they can be instruments through which healings take place, because healing is important to everybody. Now, what does he mean by healing? He'll tell you. Advances in medicine will not eliminate the need for spiritual healing, because even with 100% success in physical healing, I do not believe that such healing will ever succeed in revealing man's soul to him. That will be the function of the practitioner of spiritual healing. And so if you are practicing these principles, if somebody calls on you for help, your job is not to heal their body or their finances or their personal relationships. Your function is to reveal their soul to them. He says no one will ever be completely whole until he finds himself at home in God. And while I was reading that, I was thinking of Robin Williams, the actor, who had somewhere around $250 million in the bank, and yet he committed suicide. So it doesn't matter what you have or who you are, if you don't find yourself at home in God. The harmony of man's being is achieved only when he finds God, when he arrives at an inner communion with that which is greater than himself. That is the real healing and the lasting healing. Sooner or later, the realization dawns that until one establishes conscious contact with the source of his existence, there will still be unhappiness, dissatisfaction, incompleteness, regardless of how much health or wealth he has. Spiritual healing is much more than a purely physical experience or even a mental experience. Healing is finding an inner communion with something greater, far greater than anything in the world. It is finding ourselves in God, finding ourselves in a spiritual peace, an inner peace, an inner glow. all of which comes to us with the realization of God with us, the presence and power of God felt. And that's in italics, felt. The presence and power of God felt. Resting in that peace, the body resumes its normal functions. And those functions are carried on by a power not our own. The body then begins to show forth perfect, complete health. Youth, vitality, strength, all the gift from God. Spiritual healing is the touch of the Spirit of God in man's soul. And when that touches him, it awakens him to a new dimension of life, a spiritual dimension. So we are told so far that spiritual healing reveals man's soul to him, and it is felt, and it lifts one into a new dimension, a spiritual dimension. And that has nothing to do with bodies and finances and relationships. That's all an inner experience. It lifts you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not that the Spirit of the Lord acts as medicine, but because the Spirit of the Lord lifts the seeker into a new consciousness of life. The state of consciousness which the Master described as my kingdom, which is not of this world. When man attains that state of consciousness, he lives in a dimension of life other than the three-dimensional one. And he has experiences totally unknown on the human level of life. That is the goal which the world is seeking, even though it does not realize quite what the goal is or how to attain it. Jesus gave us a glimpse of this higher dimension of life. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk," clearly indicating that God was not going to cure a physical disease, but that physical disease actually was not a power or a limiting influence, and therefore nothing could hinder him in spite of what he was experiencing as physical discomfort. When the man responded, it meant he was lifted into a new dimension of consciousness, one in which his physical limitations did not operate. So, healing then, let's say you're working for your neighbor, healing is lifting him into a new dimension of consciousness in which his limitations do not operate. Now he gets a little personal here. Joel says, "When my first spiritual experience came to me, I was not seeking a healing as such. True, I did need healing, the healing of a cold, But the motivating force within me was not healing. It was to find God. The strange thing, however, was that within 36 hours, a buyer who was a customer of mine told me that if I would pray for her, she could be healed. The only prayer I knew at that time was, "Now I lay me down to sleep." And it seemed obvious that that was not going to do much healing. But she insisted if I would pray for her, she would get well. There was nothing for me to do but to pray. I am happy to say that I have always been honest with God. So I closed my eyes and I said, "Father, you know that I don't know how to pray. And I certainly know nothing about healing. So, if there is anything I should know, tell me." Very, very clearly, as much so as if a voice were speaking, I heard, "Man is not a healer." That satisfied me, and that was the extent of my praying. But it was enough. The woman had her healing. Now, what happened? He turned within to contact the Father. He was honest. He admitted that of himself he could do nothing. He could do nothing. And then he rested. And in that prayer, in that resting, he was lifted up. And he heard the still small voice say, "Man is not a healer." Now, that wasn't the healing. Those five words were not the healing. The healing was him being lifted up into his soul. And the contact with soul revealed the truth. And the woman said, "Well, let's see." It doesn't say it, but she was healed. Why? Because she entered his consciousness, and when he was lifted, so was she. He says, the very next day, a traveling salesman came in and said, "Joel, I don't know what your religion is, but I do know that if you would pray for me, I could get well." What was there for me to do in such a situation? Argue? No. All I could do was say, "Let's close our eyes and pray." But while my eyes were closed and apparently nothing was happening, he touched me and said, "Wonderful. The pain is all gone." Now, I wrote in the margin here, it operates without you operating it. Because he said, and while apparently nothing was happening, the man said, "Wonderful, the pain is all gone." And so it operates itself without you operating it. That kind of thing was a daily experience, so that I should not have been surprised when one morning, about a year and a half later, as I came into my office, my business associate said to me, "You've had 22 telephone calls, and not one is from a customer. All these calls are from people asking you to pray for them. They want to be healed. Why don't you wake up? With that, I left, went uptown, and rented an office to engage in the practice of spiritual healing. And I have been at it ever since. Now, when he went to that illumined person who was living in and through his soul, and his soul living through him, Christ was living him, and he had a meditation with him for the purpose of healing the bad cold that he had, he was lifted into his soul, into a new dimension, a new consciousness, and it opened to him like a flower opens. And it stayed open. But he didn't know what had happened or how to repeat it. And so he studied. He'll tell you, he studied for years before he could reveal it to his students. And finally, he found the principles, and they are in this book. But number one, you'll have to know the truth. You'll have to know these principles. Number two, you'll have to practice them. And somewhere in the practice, you will be lifted. So he says, it was only after years of study, experimentation, practice, and more revelation that the answer came as to how spiritual healing is accomplished. He says, I found it very hard to teach others and found very few who could understand what I was trying to say. And elsewhere, he says he had a hard time explaining to the students that you're not pulling God into this human world, but rather you're being lifted into a higher consciousness, a higher dimension. He says, I still have the same difficulty because spiritual healing is so strange, so revolutionary, so different from the ordinary way of thinking that it makes imparting or teaching it a difficult matter. Yes. It's so strange because, well, let's look at this. He closed his eyes, and apparently nothing was happening. And the man touched him and said, wonderful, the pain is all gone. Thank you so much. Now, do you understand that? If you say you do, you're lying. That can't be understood with the human mind. You might be able to feel it because you've experienced it. But that's a different kind of knowing. That's knowing it aright. But we'll get into that later. So this higher consciousness became him. I live, yet not I, Christ liveth me. There is no denying the fact that it is not easy for some people, often very intelligent people to grasp the mystery of spiritual healing. Why? Because very intelligent people have reason and reasoning minds, and that reason gets in the way of understanding. Again and again and again, understanding with the mind has no meaning. Understanding has no meaning. But when you know this with your soul, that's the kind of knowing of the truth that sets you free. All right, so then he goes into a story, and I love this story. He's called upon to heal somebody that's dying, and he goes to her hotel, spends some time with her. I'm sure they meditated. Then he goes downstairs to the hotel lobby, and the family's down there, and one guy corners him and says, "Of course, we know that we can't really expect any help in this direction, because it's a well-known fact that diseases of this nature cannot be healed." And this response is so like Joel. I love this response. It was definitely inspired. Joel says, "Don't you think before we talk about that, we ought to speak at least 5 minutes about the Copernican theory and dispose of that first?" He looked at me in astonishment. "The Copernican theory? What's that? What does that have to do with it? What is it?" Joel said, "You haven't heard about it?" "No, I don't know anything about it." "You don't? No, I can't discuss that. I haven't the faintest notion what it's all about. I don't know anything about it." And then Joel says, "But why should that stop you from talking about it? You don't know anything about spiritual healing either as related to the healing of this disease, and yet you feel competent and ready to talk about that." I wish I was there. Such an attitude towards spiritual healing is typical of many people who find this whole subject so intangible and contrary to human reason that it is completely incomprehensible to them. And the wisdom of God is foolishness unto man. Reason is wanting proof. Let me see it. Let me touch it. Let me feel it. How much does it weigh? How does it work? Let me pick it apart. Let me put it back together. And that doesn't work. You tell that mind, it's a feeling. You tell that mind, you sense it. You tell that mind, you rest back in the infinite invisible. And that mind says, "What? What are you talking about?" You tell that mind, "You can't see, hear, taste, touch, or smell it. But intuitively, you can feel it. You know when it's working." And that mind says, "Whatever, bub. Yeah, sure." Reason. Well, do you remember in the book The Infinite Way where he says, Jesus walking on the water, healing the lepers, raising the dead, does all that seem reasonable to you? He says, be suspicious of a truth that seems reasonable. And so reason and the presence and the movement of that presence in your inner being, the two don't mix. You can't reach that movement through reason. Reason will not help you. There is only one way that anybody will ever be able to accept the principles on which spiritual healing rests, and that is if within his own being he feels an assurance and then begins to watch, to behold, to bear witness the harmony as it unfolds in his experience. Let us be still for a moment. How would I describe this presence to the reasoning mind? Be still. Stop. I come at a moment ye reason not. And that really doesn't mean that the presence comes. It means when you stop your reasoning, thinking, trying to understand, and find that inner stillness without reason, then another faculty opens up. A soul faculty. And with that soul faculty, you are able to perceive the presence that is omnipresence. While you're moving about this world and reasoning, you cannot feel it. Although after you've walked on this path for a while, I can tell you this, sometimes in the middle of, let's say, figuring out your taxes, you have papers in your hand and calculator by your side, and you're adding things up and subtracting things and multiplying, and suddenly you feel the presence and you just drop everything right there and turn within. So once you've been on this path for a while, that door stays open. That soul faculty is alive. And unless you get drunk or you're anesthetized for surgery, and sometimes even then it remains open. So, we are not healing things or people or situations. We are turning within. We are being lifted into our soul. And our soul faculty reveals that omnipresence, which is already whole, complete, perfect. And sometimes you feel nothing at all. And the person that asks you for help says, "Thank you. I feel so much better." The very moment that you are an instrument through which somebody else receives a healing, even of so simple a thing as indigestion or an ordinary headache, that must be the proof to you that there is a presence, a power. There is something available above that which is known to the human mind, to reason. In the 12-step program, it talks in their book about the God of reason and how we have to step ashore to the God of faith. Only I never did like that word faith. I could never drum it up. I couldn't figure out how to get faith. If you just have enough faith, you can do this or that. Well, I apparently didn't have enough. But I discovered something. I don't need faith. I need surrender. I need to do what Joel did. God, I don't know how to pray. Father, reveal thyself. I need to surrender to this power, this presence, and let it flow. And then, as he said right here, you watch, you bear witness, you are a beholder, as harmony begins to unfold in your experience. And then you go, aha, there is a presence, and now faith is no longer needed because you have knowing, inner knowing, real knowing, not reasoning, knowing. From then on, it means that your work and my work must be to continue in our search and to develop ourselves in the practice of the presence until realization comes, followed by demonstration. So, hopefully this is changing your ideas, your opinions, your beliefs about what spiritual healing is. Because spiritual healing is not patching up the third dimension. Spiritual healing is opening a door to the fourth dimension. And through that fourth dimension, you feel intuitively with your soul faculty the presence of omnipresence. And then you open your eyes and you become aware as harmony appears. You are lifted into a new dimension, a new consciousness. And in the practice, in the continued practice, what happens? The door stays open. And more this inner self, this Christ, is demonstrated, is manifested, until you are able to say, Christ liveth through me. So it is, when you have the experience of one first conscious realization of a transcendental presence and power, of that something that we call God, Spirit, the Christ, well, that sets the seal forever in you. And you know that one of these days, whether it is accomplished slowly or rapidly, you are going to be able to say with Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Or with Jesus, I can of mine own self do nothing. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now that's a real experience, a real realization. He says, insofar as one individual can show forth a measure of health, harmony, inner peace, joy, satisfaction, and abundance sufficient unto his needs, in that degree is that person the light of the world. Yes, because the light is shining where you are. The inspiration for others to follow. The light which fills them with that same hope, that same ambition, and that same willingness to sacrifice just a few hours a day to the end that they also may know God. And so spiritual healing becomes embodied in consciousness through a light here and a light there. There are people who have had an experience similar to that which I had late in 1928, when, while in meditation with one who was truly illumined, the Spirit descended upon me, and I was lifted out of what we might call this world. After that, the things of this world no longer attracted me. And from then on, my whole life was lived in my inner being, with the Bible, with metaphysical and mystical writings, and in the company of those on the spiritual path. All the rest of my life dropped away. Now, he does not say, and from then on I stopped eating meat, and from then on I stopped smoking, and from then on I cleaned up my language. He says it dropped away. He didn't work on it. He worked on the spiritual. He worked on turning within and communing with his own soul, feeling that soul faculty open up. You know, the Buddhists have it as a lotus flower, and the flower opens up. And that's what it is. It's inside of you. It's the soul faculty, and it opens up, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. But it will always materialize if you will do the work. And the work is knowing the truth, not with your reason. No, knowing with your soul faculty. You see, these are things you can't describe, pin down, calculate, and teach. Like that other Zen story of a finger pointing at the moon, and instead of looking at the moon, you look at the finger. Well, when you approach this with reason, that's what you're doing. You have to look at the moon. That's where it's pointing. You have to look at your own soul. All right, so I'm sort of getting off base here. He says, I had received the illumination that took me out of the business world and into the spiritual healing ministry, which has resulted in a continuity of unfoldment from that moment to this. Now, you could say, was he lifted out of the business world? No. He was lifted into a new consciousness, a soul consciousness. And that consciousness outpictured. And he became a spiritual teacher, a spiritual healer, a spiritual blessing to all mankind. That's what that consciousness is. That's what that consciousness does. But, he says, that experience could not have come to me except for the 13 years spent in reading the Bible and metaphysical books, sometimes begging and pleading with God, please, God, please speak to me. Say something to me. Do something to let me know there really is a God. Every bit of that search prepared me for that 1 minute which changed my entire life. And I know many of you have that same longing because you've told me about it. And the only thing that I can tell you is persist, continue, one step in front of the other. Do what's revealed to you to the best of your ability. And then if you sometimes have to beg the Father, well, that's allowed. It will come. The ultimate salvation of the world through spiritual healing will come through an individual you and an individual me, through an individual him and an individual her. Here and there, who show forth by the fruitage in their lives. Each one is a beam in the whole light. No one can ever be more than that. It takes one person here, another person there, each contributing his part to make up the whole. Every time a healing is brought about, whether for yourself or for someone else, the world benefits. The world is that much closer to receiving the full spiritual light because of each individual healing that takes place. That seems like such a wonderful purpose in life, rather than going to school, getting an education, which I did all that, landing a job and working it into a position, reaching into management, all of those things, my reason worked well in. It excelled in. But then I found this spiritual path. And no matter how I knocked and begged and cried and got angry, reason would not open the door. Finally, like him, in desperation, I said, God, Jesus, Buddha, Christ, Great Spirit, Cosmic Consciousness, anything, anywhere, I will do anything if you show me how to live. And the inner door was opened right then. I remember the exact moment, 3 o'clock in the morning, on my front porch steps in Pasadena, California. The door was open. I didn't know it was open. But in the next 30 days, God was no longer in the books or on the tapes. There was an invisible presence, and it was moving things around in my life because reason had stepped aside. I was praying without ceasing, Father, thy will be done. It's your ball game. It's your show. I mean, all day. And I saw this most amazing thing. There really is a God. And it's working in my life. Moving things around. Rearranging, reassembling. Regenerating, healing. So, he says, the secret of healing must inevitably be learned. First, that God is. Second, that the nature of God is good. The nature of God is love. The nature of God is wisdom. And the function of God is not only to create an image after his own likeness, but to maintain and sustain that image, including all mankind, in a divine embrace of harmony, wholeness, completeness, and perfection. And that's what happened to my life in 30 days. After I had driven it into the ground by running it with reason. That is the truth about God. Now here's something you might want to put a little star or highlight. That truth does not necessarily mean that you or I will benefit by God's infinite creative maintaining and sustaining being in nature, because there is yet something for us to do. And that something is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I wrote here, but not mentally. No, it's not sitting and repeating the words. Well, I've known the truth for a half an hour. No, you haven't. Knowing the truth, as he means here, is that inner experience that takes place when reason has stopped. Listening has taken over. You are receptive. You are still. You are waiting upon God. And then there's something that happens. Something is whispered within you. Maybe not words, maybe a feeling. And there's a aha. Maybe a deep breath. You're resting in that presence. You feel its movement. Now you know the presence with your soul faculty. That's knowing the truth that makes you free. Because that truth manifests, it demonstrates, it appears as harmony. God's work is done, he says. God's work was done in the beginning. The principles of every ancient and modern invention have always existed. They only awaited a Samuel F.B. Morse, Thomas Edison, Charles Kettering, Guglielmo Marconi, Glenn Curtis, Orville Wright, and Enrico Fermi, and Albert Einstein, to come along and reveal the principles governing these revolutionary ideas. Yes, so the laser beam existed in Jesus' time. But it had to be revealed. It had to have the steps that brought us up to where we could fire a laser at the moon, have it bounce back, and realize, laser beam. All the music, all the art, all the literature exists already. All that has ever been known, all that is known now, and all that will be known, composed and written for the next million years, already exists. All of these have existed from the beginning. It becomes necessary for us to learn how to turn to that spiritual realm, to your own soul, and let God's creation, that which has always existed, come forth. God's work is done, finished, complete. But it is unfolding to our conscious awareness in proportion as we learn the truth and how to bring ourselves into harmony with that truth. The next step is not up to God. It is up to you and to me. And hopefully, that answers the question, what is spiritual healing? If nothing else, it answers what it is not. It's not reasoning. It's not thinking. It's not reading. It's not reciting. It's not rehearsing. All of that is either physical or mental. Illumination comes when we are lifted into a new consciousness. Now, consciousness means conscious awareness. Most of the time, you are consciously aware of the third dimension of life, that which you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. But as we learn to meditate, as we learn to commune with our very own soul. We lay down those senses. We don't get rid of them, we just lay them down. We stand still. We are receptive, we're listening. Speak, Father. We must practice that. This is how we open the door to our soul faculty, which is the ability to feel that inner omnipresence. And once you feel it, you can come back. It may not happen the first or even the 12th time, but it will happen again and again and again and again and again until it becomes a working part of the mind. You have an inner door that's opened. And I will come in and sup with him. You should go in and out and find pasture. I will never leave him nor forsake him. Okay, I can't say does that make sense, because if it does, it's wrong. But do you get a feeling now for this? You feel that you're headed in the right direction? Do you get this idea that spiritual healing is not physical healing? Spiritual healing is lifting you out of all that, into your soul, where soul healing can take place. And I, your very own soul, if I am lifted up, I will draw all mankind unto me. I will draw all manifestation unto me. Joel spent a year or two delivering the message that we must lift up the Son of God, which is your soul. And this is how you do it. Let everyone be lifted up into the one divine being. And let it begin with you, and you, and you, and you. Here and there. So that we may be a circle of Christhood, circling the globe. And the globe really needs this soul impartation, this light, this illumination. Thank you for drawing this up and out. I am grateful for all of you. Blessings.